This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello, and welcome to episode 212. I'm Chris Stafford, and on this week's episode, I'm going to be talking to Mark Phillips, the course designer of the FEI World Equestrian Games cross-country course. And Mark will describe the cross-country fences to us shortly. But before that, we're going to hear from Eric Bull, who's the course builder at Tryon. Eric, welcome to the program.
Hi.
You're not literally in the trenches, are you, as we speak?
No, I'm at lunch.
Oh, good. Let's talk about the actual building and how this has been mapped out, because I know you follow instructions from Mark Phillips, but in terms of the layout, you know the course very well and the kind of challenges that you've had given the weather and rain when you don't want it and then not when you do.
Right. I mean, the rain's always a challenge in every project, at every facility, at probably everywhere in the world. If you're a builder of houses or anything, weather impacts you. Really, the more time you have, the easier it is to avoid the raindrops. I mean, I guess we only really had less than two years to build out this cross country course. So obviously, some of the projects we've done, we've had to run smack into some adverse weather. This part of the country gets a fair bit of rain, which is why it's a great place to run horses. It's a great place to grow things, including grass, because it does get pretty regular, steady rainfall all year long. I mean, I'm used to working in the rain, so normally we're able to just keep moving forward.
So let's go back then to when this all began. You said this has been a work in progress, obviously, for 2 years now. Were you familiar with the terrain and the kind of footing that you were going to be dealing with, the challenges that you were going to be facing on the ground there, Eric?
I did. We had worked here probably maybe 18 months prior to getting the WEG awarded to Tryon. We had done the AECs here once, and we had done Pony Club here once, and we did the Fork here once before before WEG came along. So we had been down on the golf course, which is really the premium piece of property on this facility. It's an old golf course. I think it's about four or five holes of golf course that was built in the early 2000s, abandoned for a little while, and then we got back. It came back as the upper level cross country course here at Tryon. That portion of the course is absolutely beautiful. It's 20-year-old Bermuda grass with irrigation and drainage. So that portion of the property is pretty amazing. Now we're connecting the two pieces of property. So we've always had this upper portion, which is around the equestrian center where we've run all the low levels in the past, and now this piece of grass is coming up over the hill and connecting what we call the derby field to the golf course cross country.
Talk a little bit, if you would, to describe the landscape there, Eric, for those that have not familiar with the terrain down there in Tryon and what that course might look like. Let's use the Kentucky three-day event as a benchmark, because we've had WEG there before and most of our members will be familiar mm-hmm. with that. In terms of that terrain, how undulating is it down there? What kind of rolling course do you have?
It's an interesting piece of property. It's sort of out here in western North Carolina is beautiful Blue Ridge rolling mountains. I mean, you're really in the mountains, so there's quite a bit of grade change. If you were to go 10 miles across any piece of land out here, you'd probably encounter a mountain. You'd be going up, you'd be going down. The golf course is all down on an old floodplain to a river. So it's pretty flat. You don't actually change much you don't change altitude. But because it's a golf course, there was a lot of terrain built into it. So you're changing grade all the time. You're there. You go up, you go down, you go around. There's contours on the hill. And then when you leave the golf course, you do climb up a hill to another flat spot. And once you're on top of that, you're flat for the last six or seven fences.
Okay.
So while it's in the mountains, the cross-country course is really actually on pretty flat ground. with the exception of that one hill that you climb about two-thirds of the way through.
Okay. And in terms of the water courses there, natural water courses, and how you've utilized those for the water combinations, talk a little bit about that and how they will fall and where in the course.
There's three big waters, all of which are pretty big, all of which are being used for both driving and eventing. One is you run into the lake. I think Badminton Burley, one of those two courses has a large sort of head of the lake style water where you feel like you're running through the lake. The second water is a big sort of L-shaped, amoeba-shaped water. It's also on dry land. And the third water has the bridge in it, which you've seen at other WEG games for the drivers who like that effect of going over and under. And eventing will go under and over that one. It's also interesting because the golf course because it's a floodplain of an old river, it's on both sides of a small river with an additional river feeding into it. I think there's five or six bridges that you cross, wooden bridges that the track brings you across. So there is quite a bit of water and quite a bit of things happening on your way around.
And we've heard about a part of it that crosses over the driving marathon course and the endurance. Talk a little bit about that and the footing, how that will change, Eric.
Well, everything is shared. I built both driving and eventing, so I have a good understanding of how those two cross over and interact with one another. And in almost every place, they really don't impact each other. If eventing goes first on 90% of the course, with the exception of the endurance. But eventing and driving each have their own sort of half of the track that they're going to be able to use. So even if it was a slog for eventing and eventing really tore it apart, the driving will be one click to the left or to the right of what eventing might ruin. I know there's a portion in the middle where eventing, driving and endurance all cross, and not totally understanding where endurance goes and when they, I understand where, when they go in the week, but I don't really understand how they're crossing our track. So somebody with a bigger scope would have to answer that question.
Okay. There's also a reference I've read to some part of this, which will be actually all weather. And the length of the course may be affected as well. Talk a little bit about that. I know you don't make those decisions, but how much of the course will be on all weather?
Well, I would call the golf course all weather because it has drainage built into it. So while it's not an arena, it's the good portions of the golf course are second to none. With drainage and irrigation, the best portions of land down here, you could run in any conditions at all. And then where you come up the hill, which is I think the portion that everybody's been concerned about because it's new. It's clay with and then they laid a sandy sort of substrate. So there's about 6 inches of like a river sand that was laid on top of the natural clay before the sod went on top of that. So it's untested. It will be tested, but it's all weather in that it's going to have very good drainage underneath it. Obviously the Derby field, which I think you're only in for 100 meters or less, is also all weather. And that's that special footing that Tryon created a couple years ago before the AECs and Pony Club, where all of the upper level tracks for what they call the equestrian center, which is where show jumping, the restaurants, all of those facilities are. So it's also all weather.
As a course builder, Eric, you know, you're very experienced at this, obviously. You've seen different terrains, different footing, and different conditions and climates around the world. When you look at this course, if you were to sell this course as a venue, what have you most enjoyed about working there and the terrain and the challenges that it's faced you?
I really love working at Tryon. I've had nothing but good experiences with, you know, periodic challenges. the group who runs the facility is energetic. There's lots of available both machines and opportunities to you when you're here. I like working on the golf course because it does drain well. Even in the worst of weather conditions, if you give it 12 hours, 18 hours, you're always back to work here. And it's all river bottom, so it drains well. It can go from looking catastrophic here to looking dusty in a very short period of time. It's fun terrain to work on also because it rolls really well, rolls nicely. I think for WEG, Mark's created some really, really unique, interesting features that we've been able to build out both using the terrain and into the terrain that I think people are really going to enjoy seeing. I think the riders are really going to enjoy the challenges that were put out there by Mark in incorporating the land. It's a little bit unlike, you know, I guess every course is unlike every other, which is why we all really enjoy this sport. They're supposed to all be different. So it's always hard to compare them to another track, because if they were similar, you really wouldn't have a sport. You would really have show jumping.
Well, we only have just a few weeks to go now, Eric, before the world descends on Tryon. What's left to do for you as a builder now? What do you have to do on the course, and are all the fences in place yet?
We're back down in 10 days with Mark Phillips to actually place all the portables. All the portables were placed a month or two ago, and all those locations marked. So all we're really doing is replacing the portables. We placed them once in order to figure out if everything that Mark thought was going to work was going to work. And, you know, 80% of it worked. The 20% that didn't work got rethought and, you know, rebuilt or repurposed or changed in whatever way it needed to be done in order for it to work. So I'm pretty confident that when we go to laying out portables in 10 days from now, all of the challenges that Mark found the first time are all going to have been solved. We'll probably be down to the 2 to 5% range of problems that still exist. We were kidding about it the other day. It's a little bit like there's just a lot of arts and crafts left to do. It is a WEG course, so it needs to be fancy. It needs to be more exceptional than your average cross-country course. So all of the construction work is done. The waters are built. Well, there's one more water to finish, which is probably the biggest challenge and the biggest piece ahead of us. But all the posts and rails exist in place. All the frangibles have been put in them. All the portables are within a couple hundred yards of where they're ultimately going to go. But there's tons of other stuff that has to get built in and out and around those obstacles.
So as a course builder, Eric, you know, you've done this so many times now. Are you someone, when you've done everything and even the arts and crafts, all the dressings done, and you really can't do any more, do you get nervous at that point at the start of cross country?
I do always get nervous at the beginning of cross country. What I find most fascinating about this job, and I think most people who are in this business find fascinating about the job, is if you run a day of cross country, two or three or at least one thing will happen. It might be great and it might be tragic, but it's something that you've never seen and never experienced before. So I think that the little bit of nerves that you feel the morning of is more, what's one thing that's going to happen today that I've never seen, and can I solve that new problem? So it's both an excitement and a bit of concern and fear.
And how many will be on your team then for cross country? How many boots on the ground there?
We have about 8 experienced builders who have all been around, done multiple courses, and that's sort of the week of, and we have a team of about 5 or 6 that have been working on this course for the last 2 years.
All right, so it really is a countdown for you now, and as you said, just getting the portables in place and dressing those fences with the arts and crafts to make it look like a WEG course. And we're looking forward to seeing it, Eric. We'll be down there in a few weeks' time, and we really appreciate you taking the time to come on the program and tell us about it. And so good luck with the rest of the preparation.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
Well, Mark joins me now after a very busy weekend at Gatcombe Horse Trials. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, let's look at where we are with the course right now, because you've got a small matter of the Land Rover Burley Horse Trials before probably you come back and look at the course at Tryon. What is the state of the course right now in terms of the length of the course and the layout with the conditions that you had when you left Tryon?
In Tryon, we've got grass all the way up to the polo pitch, which is the driving arena, and the endurance vet box. So that's eight minutes 45. Then we've got roughly 150 meters of all weather before we get back onto the grass. And so that's at the end of the ninth minute. And then we finish obviously in the arena again on all weather.
What is the total distance right now then, Mark? Because I know there has been some talk about adjusting it since you had so much rain there in Tryon.
So the course always has been, was always going to be 5,700 metres, give or take 1 or 2%, as instructed by the FEI. Now then, if we get Hong Kong weather and it's 90 degrees and 90% humidity, obviously the grand jury in the week will shorten the course as we all think fit, if we get extreme weather conditions. But if we have quote unquote normal weather conditions, the course is 10 minutes and 5,700 meters and 42 efforts, which is 135 meters per effort.
Let's go back to when you were first assigned this, Mark, and you would be familiar with the terrain down there. What was your first approach to what you wanted to create? Give us the big picture when you first began to design the track.
Well, the problem was I was given by the FEI the parameters of 10 minutes, give or take 1 or 2%, which is 57 or 114 meters. Well, in cross-country design, that's like a postage stamp. And so because of the terrain there, with the creek going through the golf course and the fairways and all the rest of it, I had to start at the finish. And I deemed that the main arena was probably the best place to finish. And because we have all the facilities there in terms of electric, water, ice, for the misting pans and everything, and go back for 5,700 meters until I got to the start. So that's how I did it. But to get from the golf course to the arena meant going over the hill, and that because of the weather, that getting that hill into shape took longer than anticipated. But we're there now, and but the hill is still there. So pretty much the eighth minute is going uphill. So that eighth minute has two efforts, but it's also 600 meters of climbing.
And in terms of the fences and fence designs that you had in mind when you looked at the course and what you were working with at that point, did you have a picture, obviously, of number of water obstacles that you would have, how many portables you would bring into play? Give us a sense of how you laid it all out.
Well, I mean, knowing that Wegg was coming, or we maybe want to go 3 or 4 star in the future, we laid out a pretty big water down by the lake, bigger than what you'd do for like a normal horse trials, and obviously driving was involved in that as well. And then Richard Nicol and I with the second water, which is now the Longines water. The first one being the Mars Sustainability Bay. We built with Richard kidney shaped with a bridge over the top. And so both driving and us are using the bridge in one form or another, and we will continue to use it in the future.
So in terms of how, the fences then, let's go around the course, Mark. What have you got before the first water fence, for example?
Well, the you can build X or Y fences, or with the games you can make it all more interesting. And when I started off, I looked at Carolina history and some of the Carolina wildlife, thinking that we might have got support from some of the wildlife, local wildlife parks, nature preservation institutions. So, you know, we got the Carolina, the yellow butterfly, the red cardinals, the Carolina tortoise, the Carolina honeybee. So there's a and Carolina squirrels. So there's a significant part of it that is based on Carolina wildlife. And then I was sort of looking for, if you like, sponsorship themes. Some of those proved slower to come in than what you would have hoped. And so, you know, I started off, and you know, the first sense is the Wegg Boxer. The second is Cleghorn Golf and Gun Club, because Cleghorn is the golf course and the gun club is part of the Tryon Resort. The three is the Wellington Stables, which is you know, the Wellington Partners from down in Florida. Four is Buckeye, which is a Mars equine food brand. Five is now the Hearthstone Sluice. Then there's the the First Water, the Maidan Marina. And then we've got Chimney Rock, which is up over some hills with some rock fences. Then the Mars Sustainability Bay, and then the Carolina Honeybee, then the Over Mountain Victory Wall, because right there is the Over Mountain Victory Trail, the historical significance of that in North Carolina. And then obviously the apples are really important in that part of the world, so we've got Apple Country, and then CSX Junction, and then Twin Rivers Hay Farm, and we've got the Moonshine Still, which is obviously moonshine, again, is a big part of Carolina history, and was, you know, the birth of the NASCAR racing season, or racing series that we have now. And we've got the Lugano Leap, the Land Rover Turn, the Longines Water, and then John Deere has a fence, Polaris has a fence. Now we're getting up to the Hendersonville Apple Festival, and then the Coca-Cola Refresher, and the stock car tires, and the checkered flags, like from NASCAR, at the end of the course. And so you know, we've finished up with quite a variety of fences in.
How many fences will you have in the main arena then, Mark? And at what point of the on the court?
And only one. Just it's the last fence. Just one.
What have you enjoyed about the challenges of that terrain to build this track for a World Games? Because it must be something special. As many courses as you've done, to do an Olympics or a WEG, it's different.
It's different. Obviously, I've not done, well, I've done Europeans before and Pan Ams. Obviously, Europeans, and I wasn't involved with the. I was able to do that because the Americans couldn't participate. And I was able to do the Pan Am courses, the first one back in 1989, when I wasn't involved with the American team. So those I've been able to do, but not a World or Olympic Games, because you know, since 1980, since 1990, I've sort of been involved with one team or another in terms of being coach. So to do a Games in the twilight of my designing careers has been a lot of fun. And the difference, I think, with the games compared to a normal 3-day event is, you know, I think in the games you have more alternatives because you have a greater variety in terms of the good horses or the good riders or the not so talented horses or riders, and so you very much want to give everybody the chance to present a good picture and to get round, and so you know, we do that by putting in more alternatives. And you know, when you go around the web track, if you want to go the quick way, you need to be on a good horse and be a good rider, and pretty much all those distances are a little bit open, and therefore there's more of a chance for a glance off. But if you want to be more conservative, you've got more efforts. No circles for a black flag, because it's proven that if you start circling for a black flag, that's really tiring for the horse if you get bad, you know, hot and humid weather. I've made those distances a little tighter, therefore a little slower, and some of them they've got more efforts. So that's sort of been my philosophy through the course.
And what about the frangible pin, Mark? Have you had to use that very much through the course?
We've got MIMS and reverse pins. People, in my opinion, talk a lot of nonsense about a lot of this frangible technology. And because every fall is different, and every fall has a variety or degree of horizontal pressure and vertical pressure on something in between the two. Now, all you can do as the designer is anticipate what sort of pressure you think a rail might get and put the appropriate frangible technology onto that rail. But you know, it's impossible to get it right every time, because if you anticipate that the fence is going to get jumped at 520 metres per minute and it gets jumped at 350 metres per minute, obviously you've got a completely different scenario. So all you can do is take a mean and apply the appropriate technology.
Well, it's very early to ask you this. It's a perennial question, and I know that you'll be asked of it the day before cross country, is how many you expect to go inside the time. It's too early to ask that now, but what I am going to ask you is what you would say to the riders about this track. If there is there any of them listening, how would you characterise it?
Well, I think the first thing is that you've got to have a fit horse. Because, you know, since we've been doing this shorter version of the field event, we know very well that the horses can hit the wall 8-9 minutes if you go too quick too early. Guess what? The hill comes in 8 minutes, and you could get to the 9th minute and find you have no horse left. And in a way, that, if you like, that, I won't say trap, but the scenario has been laid, because the first minute's only got 2 efforts. Second minute's got 5 efforts. Third minute is more normal, but the 4th minute's got 8 efforts. So you're bound to be down on the clock at 4 minutes, at the end of the 4th minute. So then you've got 5, 6, 7 to catch that time back up again. And then you've got to deal with a hill and then see what petrol you've got left and, you know, how quickly you can get to the end. And obviously, once you've got to the top of the hill, there are no big fences and there's no acute questions or turns. You know, I built it so the riders, if they are on a tired horse, they've still got a good chance of, getting the horse home.
And when you have stood back and looked at the design of the whole course, Mark, and you've done so many now, you must have favourite fences and fences that you wonder how they're going to be jumped and if they will jump as you've meant them to. Are there any combinations or any fences out there you've thought, well, I'm particularly proud of that. I've never done that one before. I've never created something like that. So that's unique.
There are a couple, but I'm not going to tell you what they are.
Or are you going to leave us guessing?
No, there's a couple of fences there that the horses won't have seen before.
Well, on that note, Mark, thank you very much indeed for joining me. I really appreciate it. And we look forward to seeing you in Tryon.
It's my pleasure, but I don't think the time's going to be easy to guess. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
That's why you need a fist.
Good to know. Yeah. Good to know. Right. Thank you very much for your time, Mark. Thank you. See you there.
Okay.
And we'll have more previews of the FEI World Equestrian Games leading up to the event over the next few weeks here on the USCA's official podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media for updates as to when the next episodes are available. And you can take this show with you wherever you go by downloading it to your favourite podcast app from iTunes, Stitcher and other leading podcast apps. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time for another episode of the USCA's official podcast. Until then, thank you for listening and enjoy your event.